We are continuing our series in the Ten Commandments. Many of you have been along with us, and we are on the fourth commandment today. If you know me, or you hang around me for very long, there's one thing you'll find out. Well, there's lots of things you'll find out about me. But one thing is that I like to take naps. I like to, you know, it doesn't really have to be in my bed. I can be in the car waiting for something at the Tesco, or I can be in the library trying to study. And, you know, I'm down. I can be out. And so when the elders were starting the preaching schedule, and I saw it was kind of meeting, God is going to let us rest. That's great. This is good news to get today. I get to take a nap on Sunday afternoons. But there's more, I think, than this fourth commandment, that it's okay to take a nap. We've been saying throughout this sermon series that the Ten Commandments are not just rules that we follow so that God will please be pleased with us. They are guidelines for the good life. And who better to understand how life works than our Creator, God? He's made us. And He's made us in His image so that He knows how life is supposed to work, how to live life in the best way. God has given us these commandments for our benefit. Today we learn about God's intention for the weekly rhythms of life. The one day in seven that God has us set aside for rest and for worship. The word Sabbath here means to rest, stop working, to take a break. In the Old Testament, before the coming of Jesus, this day was Saturday, the last day of the week. But when Jesus rose from the dead on the first day, the early church began to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, to celebrate the resurrection. Now, there are a few Christians who still worship on Saturday, and we have neighbors right down the street here in Heflin, the Seventh-day Adventists, who worship on Saturday instead of Sunday. The majority, the vast majority of Christians, worship on Sunday like we do here at Walking God. But what are you supposed to do on this day of rest? That is a question that's divided Christians over the centuries. Should we spend our time just praying, just privately together in worship of God, and not do any kind of sports or any kind of recreational activity at all? Or should we go to the other extreme and say all days are the same, it doesn't really matter. Sunday is just another day, God made all seven. So we serve Him fully and we don't make any such a big deal about Him. Well, honestly, I think there is some freedom here in what you do on the Lord's Day. But I think we can learn some basic principles from the Bible to give us guidelines and let the Holy Spirit guide you in the specific cases that you have in your life. As you think about the decisions that you have to make about how you spend your Sunday to the Lord's Day. But there's one thing you should remember today, and that is remember the Sabbath. Nothing else. You know, I'm bad at remembering things. I'm getting old, 44. You know, those people call me on the bus coming home. They'll say, hey, can you pick up some milk when you get off the bus? And I'm like, sure, honey, there's no problem. And you know what? It's about a 50-50 chance that I'm going to walk in the door with nothing. Because of course, what's on my mind? All kinds of things that have nothing to do with milk. Those things get frustrated, isn't it? She deserves to be frustrated. Because I'm not thinking. How do you remember the milk and the other items when you go to the store? You write it down. In fact, you write it down on a little card like this that says, get some fresh gold and some vegetable oil and toilet paper, things like that. That's how you remember those kinds of things. You take time. You do some mental work. It takes work to remember. Remembering takes work. You plan, you think about your day. You plan your life. Don't let life just sort of roll you over as it comes, waking up each morning with no idea what to do. No, God has given us principles to live our life and guidelines for us. not in some strange, rigid kind of way. There's freedom here. But make a plan for how you're going to spend your Sunday. Think about it. Remember the Sabbath. And I think the text here gives us some help in three ways to remember. We need to remember to rest. We need to remember to let others rest. And then we need to remember that we need to worship. Now, the fourth commandment here is unique. It's a thing about the Ten Commandments. Because it gives us the why of the command. Why should we rest one day out of seven? Why not one day out of five? Or one day out of ten? Or why rest at all? Why never take a break from work? So the basis of this one and seven rhythm of life is God Himself. I believe all the commandments are based on the character of God. But here Moses explicitly says, this is what God does. He says, this is what you need to do. Verse 11, let us know that God worked for 6 days making the world, creating the world. Then he rested on the seventh day, referring back to Genesis 2. Which reads, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Was God tired? Had God, you know, he'd been building this world, and now it's just kind of worn out after 6 days? No. I honestly think God rested on the seventh day for us. It's for our benefit. We are made in God's image. We reflect Him, remind us we pattern after Him. And God rested on the seventh day to set us an example for how to live our lives. God knows us. He knows what's good for us. And He knows it's good to set a pattern, a rhythm for our lives. Not because He needed a break, because we need a break. What's good for us, we need the rest. Now you're thinking, and oh, well that's great. I can just kick back and watch a little telly and just stay in my bed all day. That's exactly what I want to do every Sunday. And yes, you know, that physical rest is good and that's fine on Sunday, on Sabbath. But I think there's more here than just laying in bed all day. See, the pattern God sets for us is a weekly reminder that He is God and we are not. He is the creator. He is the one in charge. And if we are left to ourselves, you know what we'll do? We'll forget. Just like I forget the milk. We'll forget God's presence in our lives. What does verse 9 here say? 6 days you shall do your labor and do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work. The weekly pattern of work followed by a day of rest. Like that shopping list that I need when I go to the store. I pull out that list and say, oh, this is what I need. I can't just show up at the store and have no idea what to do. I need a reminder. God has given us a reminder that He is God, that He is our Creator, and that we trust Him. Every week, we come back around. He is God. We are not. We need Him because our hearts and our minds can easily drift away from God's presence in our lives. We need this on a regular basis. That I am not in control of my life. He is. The Sabbath rest is a time to step back and say, I can't do it all. No matter how hard we work, there will be more to be done. No matter how much money you make, there will be more opportunities to make more. No matter how many problems you have, Those will say more. It needs to be fixed. Look how much you study. There will be more to learn. God has given us the Sabbath to encourage us to plan out our lives, to work hard for 6 days, and then to stop, set a limit on our lives, and reorient them back to the priorities. Ultimately, taking a day of rest is a trust issue. Can we trust God for our future? Can we say, God, this is the pattern that you have set for us, and I'm going to follow it, even though it doesn't feel right, even though I don't understand, and it would be better if things like I should study some more, or I should work some more, or I should do this and do that. But, we may not understand it, but I do think we honor God, we have a thoughtful, prayerful decision to take a rest. See, decisions like that, not to study or not to take that extra shift, take prayer, they take planning, they make choices with our lives. If you get a rest on Sunday, you can't go out clubbing on Saturday night. You've got to study on Saturday. You're not going to study on Sunday. You might have to work on Saturday instead of working on Sunday. Think about it. Set a pattern for your life. Pray for wisdom. Honor God with your life for your future. But remember also here, God, remember that, because God brings rest to others. In addition to telling us why we need to have Sabbath, this command is the only one of the 10 commandments which say you should help others obey it. None of the other commandments say anything like, oh, make sure your son doesn't commit adultery. Or it doesn't say, make sure your servant don't steal from the neighbor. But this one, what does it say? Honor, you should not do any work. Okay, I understand that. But not your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or your sojourner, who is within your gates. What? Now I'm responsible for my kids, and the people that work for me? Yes. Because God cares about justice. He knows that given a chance, those who are in charge will make those who work under them harder and harder and harder. Verse 10 here says, the sojourner, the immigrant, who's within your gate, reminds me of being down in Kenya with Josephine's family. They live a few miles outside of the city on a compound, a little piece of land with a couple of houses. A small little house, but there's a man that lives there that works for Josephine's dad. And he's a poor man. He doesn't come from the city of Nairobi, he comes from out of the country, and he comes into the city for work. So her dad's hiring to work in the house and the garden and wash the cars and do whatever else he wants him to do. So it's sort of like this immigrant sojourner that's living within their compound, their gate. And he lives simply. He sends money back to his family and country so the kids can go to school and buy food to eat and things like that. Now what if Josephine's dad said, you know, you need to work every Sunday or I'm going to let you go. What are you going to do? He's got kids that need to eat. He needs the money. There's not a lot of jobs around. You work 7 days. He's got to do it. Josephine's dad does give him that day off on Sunday, allows him to rest and go see his family, whatever he needs to do. But if her dad wanted to maximize his work, he could put his shoes on and say, you're going to work with me. But this pattern of life, just work and then rest, it's good for us, but it's also good for those around us. And how does this work? We don't employ people. I had a Canadian friend. When he came to the Union of America, he was shocked to see the pastor of the church and elders shocked on Sunday. And I remember him saying, why did they do that? His family had made a decision that they would never shop on Sunday. Because when you shop on Sunday, the employees in the store have to work. That was their, they thought about it, they prayed to God, that was a decision that they made not to shop on Sunday. Think about the choices in your life. Are you encouraging others to rest as the Lord intended? I think this is one area. Living here in London, a big responsibility for those who work and make the stuff that we buy. The fourth commandment says we can't close our eyes to the world. To those living not only right here, but around the world. Who makes that shirt that you're wearing? Is in the news, is in the media. Are the women, are little children being oppressed? The things you're buying, the way you're spending your money. There's an interesting passage in the book of Mark, which helps us gain a greater understanding of the fourth commandment. The second chapter tells us a time when Jesus and his disciples are walking through some grain fields. And it's the Sabbath day, and if you're hiking, and I imagine it's hot, they get hungry, so they grab some grain, and they start, I think you run it together like this, I've never done this before, but I think that's what you do, you can actually eat the grain, sort of right off the stalk there. Some of the religious leaders of the day came and said, Jesus, look, your disciples, they're working, they're harvesting grain on Sunday. This is terrible. Jesus responds to him and tells the story of King David eating the bread in the temple. And he says then in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The day of rest and of worship is not to be a burden for you. It is a gift for our good. The point is not to walk around in fear, wondering if we've broken the commandment, have I broken a sweat, have I picked up a spoon and stirred this and done this and that's work, oh no, what am I going to do? No, that's not God's intention on how we treat our Sundays. We need to think and pray about the choices we make. But don't live in fear of God trying to make a mistake on how you're working and living here Sunday. Mark goes on to tell us another story of Jesus and the religious leaders in chapter 3. And he entered that Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with a withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill? But they were silent. Jesus looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him on how to destroy Jesus. You see what's going on? The religious leaders had expanded the fourth commandment way beyond what it says here. And they all these rules that was against the law to show kindness and mercy on the Sabbath. And that defeats the whole purpose of the day. The Sabbath was to bring rest to all people, not those including those who are in pain right now. God, he's even you and me to help bring rest and healing to those around us. As we walk in the ways of Jesus, he may bring us opportunities to serve on Sunday. This is a good thing, mercy and kindness to others on the Lord's Day is an appropriate use of the day as we model what Jesus has set for us. We live in a world of pain. Can you imagine a man with a shriveled hand? I don't know what disease causes of the fellow, but it couldn't have been good. A shriveled up hand is not the way God intended our hands to operate. The healing that Jesus brought this man points to the healing and the rest that Jesus is taking us as his people. Have you ever been in deep emotional, physical pain? What is one of the first things, first problems that happens when hard times come. You lose sleep. When I had surgery last year, my sleep habits were so messed up. I was on pain pills, and so I knocked out, and I'd wake up, and sort of in the middle of the night, and then I was sort of asleep, and my eye was hurting, and so I'd wake up again, and it was just all messed up. If you're stressed out from the problems you're facing, what happens? 3 a.m., you're up. You can't sleep, your mind's racing. What's going on? Those times when you have trouble sleeping because of pain are multiplied by millions and millions of times around the world. Our world is not a restful place. It's a place of pain and restlessness. Hebrews 4 tells us that God has a place of rest for people. And this context offers reminding the people that God has provided rest for the Israelites. When they reached the promised land after the exodus from Egypt and they were slaves. But this was not the permanent rest. There was something more, something greater. Verse 9 says, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever had entered God's rest was also restful from his works, as God did from the when we set aside time to worship God, each week we are remembering God's promises. But there is more to this world, and we need each other to come together each week, to sing God's praises, to remember God's promises of what God has done and what God will do in the future. Your life may be difficult now. There may be problems. I don't know what you're facing. You may have responsibilities on you that are weighing you down. But don't let that be an excuse to not gather with God's people on a weekly basis to worship your Lord and your Savior. You and I need help remembering God is still on the throne. He's not forgotten our struggles. He is making all things new. You're going to worship God because you trust Him for your future. You need to give up control of your life now. You can't control your life and then at the same time say, yes, God, I'm asking you for the future. It doesn't work that way. In the passage here in Mark, Jesus says that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Lord of the Sabbath. That means He's the boss of the day. Well, we call it the Lord's day. If it is His day, then it's not your day. This is what God, Jesus is calling us to. Submission to Him. It can only be one Lord of your life. Either you're in control, or you humbly come to Jesus and ask Him. And if you want control of your life, then you can have it your own way. And then one day you'll stand before God, your Creator, and you'll give account for your life. You'll have to explain why you said, no, I want control of my life. I want to reject your plan, your good life, God, that you had for us. But Jesus is offering so much more. Just in the way Jesus deals with the man with the withered hand, Jesus offers us a combination of kindness and power. In kindness and power, Jesus heals the withered hand. Not because the man has done anything good, but because Jesus loved him. And in the same way, Jesus offers us kindness and power. Kindness because Jesus offers himself on the cross to take the punishment we deserve for living our own lives apart from God's rule. And Jesus offers power to bring healing to our lives if we are united with Him by faith, partial healing now and full healing in the future. Jesus does bring healing now. There is rest, your pain that you are suffering right now. He's kind enough, powerful enough to bring you rest. But let us remember, there is a true rest that's coming from Jesus. Let us remember, as we worship Him, week by week by week. King Jesus, we praise you. You are a kind Lord, and you are a powerful Lord. You are kind enough to love us, and you are powerful enough to save us and to heal us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we submit our lives to your rule, that we remember